Thanks, Julian. Good afternoon. So syphilis became a nationally notifiable condition in the 1940s. Syphilis case reports are routinely sent by health departments to our National Notifiable Diseases Surveillance System, or NEDS. And syphilis is a pretty complex sexually transmitted disease with a number of stages of infection. However, typically syphilis surveillance focuses on trends in primary and secondary, or PNS syphilis, as these are the earliest and most infectious stages and represent recently acquired infections. Data on sexual behavior, which includes sex to sex partner, are also sent routinely as part of national surveillance. So from 2000 to 2001, the national rate of reported PNS syphilis cases was 2.1 cases per 100,000 in the United States, and this was the lowest rate since reporting began. However, this rate has increased every year, almost every year since then. In 2015, the national PNS syphilis rate increased 19% to 7.5 cases per 100,000 population, and this was the highest rate reported since 1994. During 2000 to 2015, the rise in reported PNS syphilis was primarily attributable to increased cases among men, specifically gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men, which I'll refer to as MSM. Among male cases of PNS syphilis with information on sex or sex partner, MSM accounted for 82% of cases in 2015. So this comparison shows higher case counts among MSM, but it's difficult to tell how disproportionate the burden is without appropriate denominators to compare these case counts to. And having denominators would also allow us to calculate syphilis disease dates. So why do appropriate denominators matter? Well, as I mentioned, in order to calculate disease dates, we need estimates of the MSM population size. Having these estimates at different geographic levels also allow finer comparison of disease dates. In addition, with disease dates, we're able to better monitor trends in incident diagnoses, better quantify disparities experienced by MSM, and also denominators at different geographic levels allows us to examine and evaluate prevention resources at the local level. So the objectives of our analysis were to estimate rates of primary and secondary syphilis among MSM and men who only had sex with women by state in 2015. And we wanted to also describe the disproportionate burden of PNS syphilis among MSM by estimating date ratios comparing the date among adult MSM to MSW and adult females, and furthermore to identify any geographic disparities. So before introducing the methods used in this analysis, I wanted to briefly talk about prior work that's been done to estimate the rate of syphilis among MSM in the United States. So in 2012, Purcell and colleagues conducted a meta-analysis of seven U.S.-based population surveys and estimated that 3.9% of U.S. adult men have had sex with another man in the past 5 years. Based on this national prevalence of 3.9%, Purcell went on to estimate a national PNS syphilis rate of 154 per 100,000 among MSM, compared to 2.2 among other men and 1.6 among women. So these estimates were able to highlight national disparities, but were limited in their applicability to state or local areas, since we expect that the prevalence of MSM may differ greatly between states. So the denominators used in our analysis that I'll be presenting today were developed by Gray and colleagues at Emory University in collaboration with the CDC, and these data were published earlier this year. Estimation of these denominators built on the prior work by Purcell and others, and Gray and colleagues developed refined and updated methods for estimating the size of MSM population at the city, county, as well as state level. And we use the state-level estimates of MSM as denominators in this analysis. So this map shows the distribution of the percentage of adult men who have sex with men by state in the United States in 2014, and really highlights the geographic variation in the prevalence of MSM, and also highlights the importance of using more defined denominators when calculating disease dates. For our numerator data, we obtained case reports of PNS syphilis for 2015 from the data reported to NEDS. So these data include information on patient demographics, including sex of sex partner. And for this analysis, we only looked at PNS syphilis cases among adult male and females, and restricted our analysis to states with sex or sex partner data for at least 70% of the male PNS syphilis cases. So this map shows the 44 states that met our inclusion criteria. And case reports from these states accounted for 84% of all reported adult male PNS syphilis cases in the United States in 2015. So now on to our results. First, just looking at the numerators used in calculating our rates, when we compare absolute case counts of PNS syphilis by sex and by sex or sex partner, we can see that the vast majority of cases are among adult males, and of those, MSM make up close to 70%. With this case count, we're able to calculate the case ratio comparing MSM to men who only reported sex with a woman. We can see that it's 4.2 times, which is a high case ratio. However, with the addition of the denominator data, we're now able to calculate rates per 100,000. And when we compare these rates of PNS syphilis among MSM to MSW, we see an astounding rate ratio of 107. So this measure really helps contextualize the absolute case burden by comparing it to the appropriate denominator, better illustrating the disproportionate burden of PNS syphilis among MSM. And then similarly, when comparing the case count and disease rates among MSM to that of adult females, we see an even more pronounced rate disparity. Comparing disease rates among MSM by state, we can see overall geographic variation with the highest rates among MSM in the southeast and the west. Four of the five states with the highest syphilis rates were located within the south. And rates across states range from 73 per 100,000 to 748 per 100,000 population. When we compare state-specific rates among MSM on your left and among MSW on your right, we see some variation in the degree of disparity in rates by state. But we need to keep in mind the differences in the scale of these epidemics. So this might be a little bit better illustrated if we were to look at three examples, just the degree of disparity. But just to highlight the fact that even among this, in the state with the most comparable rates among MSM and MSW, we still see at least a 40-fold difference in the rates comparing MSM to MSW. So if we go into a little bit more detail, for example, in Oklahoma, we see high rates of PNS syphilis among MSM compared to other states, with relatively low rates among MSM compared to other states. In Minnesota, we see relatively low rates of PNS syphilis among MSM compared to other states, but relatively high rates among MSW, again, compared to other states. And then finally, looking at Nevada, we see relatively high rates for both MSM and MSW compared to other states. So I think the key here is also for the comparison to occur within the same population group, given this, the huge disparity in the epidemic of these scales. So finally, some of the limitations of our findings include the fact that we restricted data to 44 states reporting sex or sex partner for at least 70% of the adult male PNS syphilis cases. So this did result in the exclusion of some states with a large estimated prevalence of MSM. So our results may not be representative of all 2015 PNS syphilis cases in the United States. And for the states that we were able to include in our analysis, we excluded males who did not report any information on sex of sex partner. And if we think MSM are more likely to refuse to report their sex of sex partner, we may in fact be underestimating disease rates among this population. In conclusion, these are the first ever state-specific estimates of primary and secondary syphilis incidence for MSM and MSW. Across all states examined, MSM rates were at least 40 times the rate among MSW. These estimates provide more refined data to better describe the epidemic and can be used locally to conduct evaluation and inform prevention services. These estimates can also be used to inform disease modeling efforts. And data are available to develop these estimates at a more refined level, which would be at the county or city level. And finally, I'd like to end by acknowledging all of my collaborators on this analysis, and I'd be happy to take any questions. Thanks.
If you have any questions, please come up to the mic and just give us your name and where you're from.
Hello, I'm Colleen McLaughlin from New York State. So theoretically, the ratio, or there's a relationship between women with primary and secondary syphilis and men who have sex with women who have primary and secondary syphilis. And so you may be able to take the number of women with primary and secondary syphilis and use that as a surrogate for the number of men who have sex with women in order to include all men in the analysis instead of excluding the men who don't report gender of sex partner. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to throw that out there as an idea for additional analysis in which you wouldn't have to exclude that population.
Absolutely. And I want statutory, and we spoke about a few ways to go about doing this. Two options are sort of the extreme, assuming they're all MSM or MSW. One sensitivity analysis I did look at was just sort of distributing men with unknown sex or sex partner equally, according to the way men are distributed with known sex or sex partner. We didn't see much of a change in the case ratio, and the date ratio went down to 105 compared to 107. So, yeah, you know, it's still pretty astounding.
I have a question. I think we can take the case data at face value. They may or may not have accurate sex partner information, and they are missing some. But I wondered, the denominator to me is a little more squishy, mm-hmm. Partly because I haven't read the paper. Mm-hmm. I wondered whether there were any plans, or perhaps had already been done, efforts to validate some of that state level or city level. You didn't go below state level, or Gray didn't go below state mm-hmm. level, I guess. But
well, they go down to county and MSA.
Oh, they
so
do.
So they have more defined denominators in that analysis.
Oh, fantastic. Uh-huh. Do you know if there have been any efforts to validate what they found?
So I'm going to look in the audience because I think Jeremy. Jeremy is actually present. Yeah, the primary co-author and primary investigator on the study. So
great,
but Jeremy.
So when independent estimates were available, we did compare them. I think San Francisco, for instance, we were within a few thousand. So we found that very encouraging. Right now, we're working on getting variance estimates that take into account all the different data sources that we used for the estimates. But when possible, it seemed like we got very close. So, to answer that question.
That's great. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.